Shir Masechta Mitzvah Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah, the second Mishnah on the Amud. Rashi says that this Mishnah is referring to a situation unlike the previous Mishnah of a tenant and a landlord. We'll discuss soon what would be the halacha under the circumstances that the Mishnah describes with a partnership. Says the Mishnah, Abayis Faliya, we have a two-story home. The landlord lives downstairs. The tenant lives upstairs. And Nifchasa Haliya, the upper story, which is the floor of the upper story, and the ceiling of the bottom story, opened up. Most Rishonim explain that there's a hole in the upper, in the floor of the upper story. The Rishonim that I saw doesn't necessarily mean a hole. What it actually means is that the floor got ruined. It's hard to walk and use that floor. And the landlord doesn't want to fix the upper story. So Aloch is, the tenant who lives upstairs comes and lives downstairs with the landlord until the landlord makes the proper repairs. We have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim, how to understand this rule. Many rishonim understand this rule, that this rule was made for the benefit of the tenant. The landlord doesn't want to fix his apartment. He needs somewhere to live. So we tell him, you can live downstairs by the landlord. And in fact, according to that opinion, if the landlord will continue to delay in repairing the apartment, the halach is that the tenant doesn't have to live, as we'll discuss soon in the Gemara, with the landlord in one apartment. The landlord will have to move out. But other rishonim take a different approach. They say that this actually was made for the benefit of the landlord, where by right, the landlord should have to fix the apartment. Here, we give him an option. You don't want to fix the apartment? You don't have to. Just, he can move in with you. What is the nafkamina between these two approaches, besides the nafkaminas that we said? The Ritvaz discusses the following situation, a very likely scenario. Let's say the landlord's apartment is not big enough for two families. So what will be the halacha then? If we say that this was made for the benefit of the tenant, so the tenant has first rights to that apartment, given the circumstances that we'll describe in the Gemara soon. If, on the other hand, we say it was made for the benefit of the landlord, so here, according to says the Ritvaz, if the landlord just doesn't have enough room in his apartment for the tenant, then the tenant has no right to move in there. Rav Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama, as we'll learn in the Gemara, and he says when the downstairs apartment, the landlord from downstairs fixes the upstairs, hatachta noisin is a tikrin, the person downstairs makes the ceiling for Elyon, and the tenant that lives upstairs has to provide it some mazivah, the plaster, as we'll see in the Gemara. So as I said, Rashi and most Rishonim say that our Mishnah is referring to a landlord-tenant situation. What would be the halacha if it was two partners? So I saw three different, very different opinions. Some Rishonim, I think it's the Rajba, suggest that the halacha wouldn't change. Whatever the halacha is by landlord-tenant will be by partners. Other Rishonim say that just the opposite. By partners, it would be completely the responsibility of the landlord, of the bottom apartment, to fix the ceiling, even according to Rabbi Yossi. And others say that no, if the upstairs apartment, if the upstairs inhabitant is a full-fledged owner here, then he has to fix his own apartment, fix his own floor, and the downstairs neighbor doesn't have to contribute anything. Ask the Gemara Nifchasa B'Kama. We speak about the floor, the ceiling getting ruined. How much of a hole was there? Rav Avin Baruba. Rav says that most of the floor was broken or fell in. But explain to Rishonim that even though Rav says Baruba, that until Baruba the rules of the Mishnah don't apply, once it is Roiv, you do have to repair it. You have to repair it all the way. You can't just repair it that should not have roiv. Once you have to repair it, you have to repair it properly. Shmuel, on the other hand, says ba'arba. As soon as the dalat tfachim of a hole, the downstairs landlord has to repair it. The Rishonim explain, because according to Shmuel, a hole of four tfachim is very significant. Other pshat that I saw is that in a hole of four tfachim, Rav will hold that you could put a piece of furniture to cover that hole. However, just the way the Meiri explains the Gemara, Shmuel says that the upstairs tenant says, I don't want to be locked in, that I have to put the furniture specifically where the hole is. I want to decorate my apartment as I want to decorate the apartment, and that obviously can't have any holes, that I have to put the furniture in certain spots. Rav Amar Baruba. Rav says, as long as the hole is not roiv of the ceiling, of the floor, it's not considered damaged. Abra loy. But if it's just for tfachim, that's not a reason that he should completely move down. Because according to Rav, Adam dar chetzi lamata v'chetzi lamala. Leaving partially upstairs, partially downstairs, wherever there's a hole, that much area, the upstairs tenant will get downstairs, is an acceptable situation. Shmuel ba'arba. Shmuel says, once there's a hole of four tfachim, the tenant completely moves downstairs. Because Shmuel says, En adam dar chetzi lamata v'chetzi lamala. People aren't willing to live that kind of way, partially upstairs, partially downstairs. Say to Paiskim, let's say we live in a place, which is quite common nowadays, where many people live in two-floor apartments. So then the tenant can't say, I refuse to live this way, and living partially upstairs and partially downstairs is considered a viable living arrangement that he can't complain about. Ask the Gemara, as we said, what exactly is the case of the Mishnah? Hei chidami, ida amar li yizu, if he said, if when they entered into this lease, the landlord specified that I'm renting this apartment, and now this apartment, the floor broke in, Ozdalay. This apartment is no Ozda, is no longer here. As the Mefarshim explained, it's his bad luck that his apartment fell in, and why should the landlord have to replace it? So the Rishonim say, most Rishonim say, what will be the din with the rent? He'll have to pay rent for the time that he lives there, and for the time that he doesn't have an apartment, then he doesn't have to pay rent. That's what most Rishonim learn. But I did see opinions cited by the Rishonim that let's say he entered into a yearly lease, and now in the middle of the year the apartment broke, the floor broke, and he paid up already for the whole year, the landlord won't have to return the extra money. Why? Because part of what Asda says, it's your bad luck. It's your tenant's bad luck that your floor broke in, and part of your bad luck is that you paid your rent and lost it. Ella, what happened was that they didn't specify a specific apartment. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, he should have to provide him another apartment. So the way to Rush and the Chazanish explain the Gemara as follows. The Gemara doesn't mean that he should go and rent a different apartment so he could have for the tenant. What the Gemara means is that at the time that the landlord rented this apartment to the tenant, he had a number of apartments. So this apartment, and they didn't specify which apartment is being rented, and this apartment collapsed. The Gemara is saying, if this apartment collapsed, give him a different apartment. Give him a different apartment. But, say the Rishonim, says the Rosh, based on this Gemara, give him a different apartment, what you have. So let's say the landlord has the only other apartments that are smaller than this apartment, so the tenant will have to take what the landlord has. So ask the Chazanish based on the Rosh, and if the landlord doesn't have any other apartments, then he doesn't have anything to give him. What would be the halacha, ask the Chazanish according to the Rosh, if when he rented him the original apartment, this was the only apartment he had. Now, when the apartment broke down, he's in the real estate business, he has other apartments. Do we follow the moment of the rental? At the moment of the rental, the landlord had no other apartments. Or do we say that since now he has other apartments, and he didn't specify that I'm renting you this apartment, and now he has another apartment to give me, he should take the other apartment. Chazanish says if he didn't have different apartments at the moment of renting, he doesn't have to provide him another apartment. Only if he had other apartments, and he didn't specify this apartment, so give him a different one. Ella, says Rava, the case is What happened was, when he rented him this upstairs apartment, he told him, this apartment, kisalik sochbada, as long as it's good, that's where you live. Vikinachis chuspida, that if the apartment breaks, you'll come downstairs and live in my apartment. That's the Gemara. So that's what they made up front. So what do I need the Mishnah to tell me? That's their agreement. The Yaakov, I remember. Elam Ravashi, the case is, Domrei Aliyazu Shagabi Baize Shani Maskalach. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is, if I want to rent you an upper story apartment, I say this second floor or this upper story apartment I'm renting you. Why did he add the words Shagabi Baize? That's on top of the lower story. What he meant to say was, what he's saying is that he's not saying it explicitly, but he's saying it implicitly, that if something were to happen to an upstairs apartment, you have a right to come downstairs and live with me. Somebody said to somebody else, as we've said many times, grapevines are very soft and very pliable. And you normally need something for to support that vine. So he says, I'm selling you this vine that's being supported by a peach tree, the Nechar Paskat, and now the peach tree got uprooted, above Maslef Ner Bchia, and the story came to Bchia. You have to always make sure that he has a peach branch to keep the vines on. Why? Because why did I mention the peach vine? This is what the Rashi explains to Gemara. Why did I mention the peach vine? What do I have to talk about it? It must be because I meant that it should always be there to support the vine. Most Rishonim explained the Gemara. Simple pshat. That what I'm accepting, what I'm obligating myself, is that I will always make sure that there's a tree under the vine to support the vine. But it doesn't have to be a peach tree, the Rishonim say. So let's say something happens to this peach tree. As long as there's a tree to support it, it's good enough. There is an opinion cited by the Torah that says that the extent of the obligation is not that far. It wasn't the extent that I always have to provide you with a tree for which the vine to rest on. If I agree that as long as I don't purposely, intentionally pull out the tree, that's all I accepted upon myself. But let's say the tree were to fall out or die on its own, according to the Torah, he would not have to replace it. Barab Abba Bamamel. So the Gemara begins with a series of questions. Kshudar. When we said that the upstairs tenant comes down to live downstairs, is it Levadu who dog to the Mikara? Does it mean that the landlord has to move out? And as the Bach explains, we're talking about that the landlord had enough time to repair it. He didn't repair the apartment, and now the tenant says, I don't want to live with you. I don't want to live with your family. You move out. I demish named Darim. Or could he insist that we should live together? Damalei, because the landlord, according to this Gemara, could successfully argue a data lafkinon with the intention that you should move out, that the landlord should have to move out, le'agrilach. That was never my intention in renting it to you. That's the first shaila. Some mefarshim want to say that the questions the Gemara is going to ask now only are according to the opinion of Rav. Who Rav is not that strict on the landlord here. That's why Rav says you only have an issue when it's nifchis berubai. Shmuel, who we found, is so strict that even if there's a hole, it's just four tfachim. Although most would say four tfachim square, but it's still not such a big area. Shmuel would certainly say that he could demand, I don't want to live together with your family. The question is only going according to Rav. Im timtz loimer. So now if we'll say that Shneim Darmba, both families live together. Kshumishtamish. Now the tenant that now has a right to live downstairs, how does he enter the house? Derech Pesachim Mishtamish? Does he enter the first floor through the door on the first floor? Or Derech Gagim Mishtamish? How did they normally get into his upstairs apartment? As you see in the older houses in Yerushalayim, the stairs are outside of the house. He walked up those stairs to enter the upper story. Mi Amar, can the landlord say, Kidmi Kara, the way you enter the house has to be the way you've always entered the house. Mami Kara, Derek Gagin, as long as you live upstairs, you enter the house by walking upstairs. Hashtanami, Derek Gagin, That's the way you should enter this house. Perhaps the tenant could successfully argue. Ali kablalai. Yes, when I rented the upper story, I knew that to get to my apartment, I have to walk upstairs. And that was part of my understanding. However, Ali v'yirida, like kablalai. Now what it's going to require is that first I should walk upstairs and then downstairs. That wasn't part of my deal here. So ask the mashal, before you have this back and forth, this debate between the landlord and tenant, why should the landlord be this way? He's living with him downstairs. There's no question. He's living with him downstairs. So why should the landlord just not be a nice person and say you have to go up and down? He's coming downstairs anyway, so let him come in through your front door. So Marsha says a beautiful teretz. He says, absolutely. There's a concept of kaifen amaydus time. Just for me to be not nice for no good reason is unacceptable. However, here I have a goal. Here I can accomplish something. Because if I tell him that you could only come into the apartment downstairs by first going upstairs, you know what may happen? Sometimes he'll just stay upstairs for whatever room he has upstairs. And he won't interfere on my privacy downstairs. So I have something to gain by him not coming directly into the first floor. I have something to gain by him going up and down. And perhaps I could successfully demand that. In Tim Salima. And it says the Gemara, continues the Gemara, Matza Amalei, that the tenant could successfully argue. Ali v'yirida like kibbalai. I never agreed to go in, up and down to get into my apartment. What will be the halacha? Asked the Gemara. Shtei ali zu gabazu. There's two stories. What's the halacha? Now, ifchis el yoina, let's say the tenant was living on the third floor. And now the third floor fell in. Certainly the landlord could tell him, go live on the second story. However, the question now is, asked the Gemara, he was living in the second story, and the floor of the second story collapsed. If the second story floor collapsed, now, can the landlord tell him, go live on the third story? Meaning, can the landlord say, can the landlord say to the tenant, you agree to live upstairs. Upstairs can mean the third floor too. And therefore the landlord could send him to the third floor. No, he only agreed to have to walk up one flight of stairs. But he never agreed to walk up two flights of stairs. And the Gemara remains with this with a take. The way most Rishayim explain, we've said this previously here. Usually when you're having a Gemara, an imtim tzloimer, that means that's the way we paskin. So in the previous two questions that the Gemara posed, the Intim Tzolaymer tells us how to follow. The last question remains with a taiku. Rav Yosemer, hatach the nois and a tikra. The halacha is, we had a machloikis in the Mishnah. Tanakama said that the landlord living downstairs gives the ceiling and the plaster. Rav Yosemer says he only gives the ceiling, not the plaster. My tikra. So the Gemara first wants to define. What is the tikra? Rav Yosef b'Chanina makinim skoim. They used to make a ceiling out of mats, of reeds, and thorns. V'sitani amar Rav Shimon Melokish, lafchim. They used to make a ceiling out of boards. Says the Gemara v'loi pligi. There's really no machloikis. Ma kasrei. Every place the ceiling should be constructed as is the minik hamakim to make a ceiling. Says the Gemara. Hani beit trei, David Diary. There were two people that were living in the same home. Chad Eloy, one lived upstairs, Chad Atoy, and one lived downstairs. Ifchis Mazivya, and the ceiling broke. And Kimashimaya, when the person living upstairs would wash his hands, Kimashimayim Eloy, when the person upstairs would wash his hands, Ozul Umaskala Tatoy, the water would leak down and cause damage to the lower apartment. So now the question is, who has to repair this floor, the ceiling? Rav Chibar Abba Oma El Yimasakin, the upstairs tenant, the upstairs partner. Rashi says here we're talking about a partnership situation. The upper inhabitant has to fix his floor. Rav Eloy Mishim Rav Chibar Abba Yossi Omer Atach the Masakin, the person downstairs. The Simon, to remember who holds what. The Yosef who had Mitzrayim. Yosef, Rav Yossi is the one that says the downstairs apartment. So there's interesting two pshatim that I saw on this.
Number one, the Paiskim say, we know the Gemara says, HaMechan Hashem L'Chaveroi. You're not allowed to call somebody by not by his proper name. So the question is, if somebody has the name Yosef, is calling him Yossi considered Mechan Hashem L'Chaveroi? Our Gemara says that seems to say that Yosef and Yossi are the same. So you see that calling somebody with the name Yosef, Yossi, is no problem. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that Yosef, the Chassidus Shesvarim discussed this at great length, Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef the Shevet Yosef, is the paradigm of Kedusha V'Tahara. Teaches us the Pasuk. Hurid Mitzrayimah. Mitzrayimah, we know, is the worst place. It's the Torah calls it the Ervas Haaretz. How could somebody survive in Ervas Haaretz? For Yosef. If he has the characteristics of Yosef, he has the characteristics of Kedusha V'Tahara, even in Mitzrayim he could survive. So now the Gemara wants to suggest, Leimer B'chibar Abver Abloy, this machloikus that the Gemara just quoted is actually the Plukta Rabbi Yossi Rabbanu Kamufki. It's the same machloikus that we have in our Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara explains itself. Lamanda El Yomasakin, the opinion that holds that the upper tenant has to make the repairs, Kesavar is of the opinion, Alamazik Lahachak Atzrim and Anizik. Whenever you have a situation of a mazik and a nizik, it's the mazik's responsibility to move away. And that's why the upper apartment has to fix the ceiling. Or man da'oma ha'takhtam sakin, and the man da'oma that says that the downstairs apartment has to fix the ceiling. Because sova'al nizik, l'hachak is atzman ha'mazik, the one that's getting damaged has the responsibility. Ask the Gemara, the Tisbara, Rav Yossi Rabbonin le'inyin mezikim pligi? Can we say that the machloikis of Rav Yossi in the Tanakam and our Mishnah is this concept of a nizik l'hachakas atzmai or a mazik l'hachakas atzmai with the Tanakam holding a nizik l'hachakas atzmai, and that's why he says the nizik has to build the entire ceiling, and the Rav Yossi holding a mazik l'hachakas atzmai, and that's why according to Rav Yossi the upper tenant supplies the plaster. Says the Gemara, how can we say that? We're going to soon learn Masechta Basra, and in Masechta Basra, we're going to see that they hold just the opposite. The Tanan. The Mishnah says in Masechta Basra, Daf Chof Hei Amud Beis. Marchikin es ilam min abar, esrim chamesh ama. If somebody has a bar, and somebody else has a tree, you have to keep the tree 25 amas away from the bar. Why? Because the roots of the tree expand, and they could cause the walls of the bar to collapse. And if you have a carob or sycamore tree whose roots even expand further, chamishim amma. You have to take him 50 amas away. Beima mala, doesn't make a difference if the tree and the bar are not on the same level, beina menatzad, or if they're on the same level. Says the Mishnah, im habar kaidim, if the bar was there before the tree, you have to cut off the tree, but you have to pay the person who has the tree there. So most Mefarshim explain, because the tree is there. He has to, the Rishonim explain, the tree is valuable, and you can't just make him lose the tree. However, it's only in a situation of a Rishus HaYochid. Rishus Rabbim will be different, we'll see. However, in Elon Kadam, if the tree was there first, then you can't demand that he should cut his tree. Lo Yokuts. Suffolk, if there's a question, Zekadim, Suffolk Zekadim, we don't know which one came first, Lo Yokuts. You can't force him to cut. Rav Yossi Omer, Afa Pisha Bar Kedemis Leilon. Rav Yossi says, even if the bar was there first, Lo Yokuts. You can't force him to cut off his tree. Shezechav B'Terech Shalai. He made a bar in his property, and he planted the tree fair and square. You can't force him to cut his tree. What do we see is the machloikis in that Mishnah? Alma, Rabbi Yossi Sava, Rabbi Yossi says, you have a bar, and your bar is getting damaged from my tree. Go, move the bar away. Rabbanan Savri, and Rabbanan are on the other hand of the opinion, no, if my tree is causing damage to your bar, it's my tree that I have to move away. So what do we see? The Rabbi Yossi is the man Dama that holds Ala Nizik L'Hachak Kasatzmai. The Rabbanan hold Ala Mazik L'Hachak Kasatzmai. In our Mishnah, we see that's just the opposite. Ela Ikal Meimer. So the Gemara regroups. And the Gemara says like this. If we're going to want to say that the Machlokes we quoted between Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Chiya Bar Yossi is connected to Machlokes Tanoim, it's not connected to the Machlokes Tanoim in our Mishnah. It's connected to the Machlokes Tanoim in the Mishnah Baba Basra. That the Mishnah Baba Basra we just explained that that is the Machlokes of Al Nizik L'Hachak L'Satzmoy or Al Mazik L'Hachak L'Satzmoy, which is the exact same machlokes of Chiya Bar Abba and Chiya Bar Abba. You see, those two machlokes travel together. Ela Ikla Meima Pligi, if we're going to say that these Amoroyim are arguing with a machlokes Tanoim, it's the machlokes beplukted Rabbi Yossi Rabban and the Hossam Kamifugi. That's those two machlokes travel together. Now we need to analyze what is the basis of a machlokes in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Rabban and the Hossam in my Pligi, what is the machlokes in our Mishnah? A different machlokes altogether. The machlokes is, what is the purpose in the plaster in a ceiling, which is also a floor of the upper apartment? How do we look at that plastering? Rabbanan Sovri, Rabbanan hold, Ma'chziva Achzuki Tikrahu. The plaster is part of making the ceiling. V'chzuki Tikra Alatachten, Boy Lachzuki. And the obligation of repairing the ceiling is the downstairs tenant's obligation. Rav Yossi, on the other hand, holds, Maziva Zhvui Gumasu. The plaster is not there to strengthen the ceiling. The purpose of this plaster is to make the floor straight. The Zhvui Gumas, and who has the responsibility to make that floor be good? Al Elyon Lazhvui. And I asked the Gemara, Eini, how can we explain the Gemara this way? Vomer of Ashi, Kavina Berif Kahana. When it was Baruch Kahana's yeshiva, however, meaning they told me, Maida Rabbi Yossi Begiri Delay. Rabbi Yossi agrees that if water is coming, and there's a number of pshatim in the Rishonim, if water is coming directly down from upstairs to downstairs, that Rabbi Yossi is going to agree that it's the downstairs tenant that has to fix the ceiling entirely. Why? What's Giri Delay? Surashi explains, Giri delay, it means like Adam HaMazik. Since it's coming down immediately, it's considered a situation of Adam HaMazik. Others say that's not considered Adam HaMazik. Since it's immediate, and for sure, the halacha changes. So why? Answers the Gemara, the Paskei Ma'iv HaHodeh Nafli. That is a case, our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the water doesn't come down immediately. Where the water doesn't come down immediately, Rabbi Yossi will hold that the downstairs tenant makes the ceiling and the upstairs tenant makes the plaster. In a case where it comes down immediately, or the place can say, where there's a lot of water coming down, then it becomes the obligation of the upstairs of the downstairs tenant to make everything. Says the Mishnah. Here we go back to a partnership situation. Two people own a house together, and the house collapsed. Amar Balalila Balabayis. So the upstairs inhabitant tells the person who lives on the first floor, live nice. Let's rebuild a house. Vuena writes a live nice. But he doesn't want to pay to rebuild a house. Says the Mishnah, Hare Balalila Boynes Abayis. The upstairs tenant, the upstairs inhabitant, will build the first floor, the Darba Taichai, and he lives there at Sheetan Laisit Yosef until the downstairs tenant will pay, the downstairs partner will pay his share. But if he doesn't want to pay his share, we'll leave it as a one-story home with the upstairs, with the previous upstairs in Hampton living downstairs. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept this. Avzed dor betach shel chaveroi, tzach la'al seschar. If we're going to have such a situation, says Rabbi Yehuda, we could have a very difficult situation here. He's going to end up living in the downstairs apartment until the downstairs person pays his share. Then when he pays his share, he'll build upstairs and move upstairs. This looks somewhat like ribbis. And as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, Chazal were very concerned of any situation that's mechsi karibis. And that's why Chazal said, don't let that happen. Chazal said, you have to pay him rent. How do we avoid it? The upstairs tenant will pay for building the entire home. And then he puts on a ceiling. And then he can live downstairs. And as the Mefarshim explained the Mishnah, as I said a moment ago, this isn't really a real situation of ribbis. It's only mechzik ribbis. And therefore, since the upstairs apartment says, you're not really doing me a big favor, I built the upstairs a story. I can live there if I wanted to. So it doesn't look like ribbis, even though he's living downstairs, and then he'll be allowed to live downstairs. There's another machloikus rishonim. What is the case of our Mishnah? Where the downstairs inhabitant, the downstairs partner, isn't doing his shiur. Is pshat in the Mishnah that he's not here, he went to Medina Sayam, he left, and therefore I have no way of forcing him to contribute. But were he here, I could use any means possible to get him to contribute to rebuilding the house. That's one opinion. It's the Ran's opinion. Other Rishonim say that no, I can't force him to do anything, but if he doesn't contribute, Tanakama says he can live there. Under all circumstances, the upstairs tenant, according to Rabbi Yehuda, could only live there if he rebuilds the entire house. Says the Gemara. Om Rabbi Yochanan. B'shlosh mekaymus, in three places in Halacha, Shana l'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda sets forth the concept, the osul adam shi'anim imam mechaveroi, I can't benefit from your money, I can benefit. Chada is out case. What did we just learn? That I can't live downstairs, just rebuild that. The upstairs inhabitant can't just rebuild a house, one floor, and live there, because he's living in somebody else's apartment, without paying. Idach mahi, where else do we find this precedent? The Tanan. Gemara we learned many times in the Masechta Bava Kamma. Hanois and tzemer letzava letzvoy le'adam. I give a piece of material to a dyer to color it red, v'tzava shachar, and he did black instead of red. Shachar v'tzava edoy, I told him to do black and he did red. Ramei oimen noisen le'imei tzamra. And the way Rashi explains, Ramei's opinion is that he's considered a gazlan. I told you to do black, you did red. I told you to do red, you did black. A gazlan. The halacha what a gazlan is, we've spoke about this a lot in Masechta Bava Kamma, that if a gazlan makes a shinui, it becomes his item, and then he has the obligation of a heshev asagzela shagozel. We should assess what was the value of the item that I stole at the moment I stole it. That means the last moment before I died it. And that's what I have to give you, the owner of the material. That's how the mayor learns. Rav Yudaimer, im ha-shvech yoysal etso, we have to look at an evaluation. If the value of the improvement is more than the expense, then you have to give the dyer his expense. However, if the value of the expense is greater than the improvement, why? Because I can't benefit from you without paying you. What is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's psak? So I saw many pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that Rabbi Yehuda conceptually agrees with Rabbi Meir that it's considered a situation of gzela. Just he doesn't want that we made a knas that he should have to pay him. Another pshat is, since the dyer did not do this intentionally, it's not like he intentionally disobeyed my instructions, he got confused. So it's not considered a situation of gzela. Or another pshat is kol mishana. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the concept that anybody who changes and doesn't follow instructions, yadal tachtoni, is entitled to get paid, but at the lower price. Idach ma'i, where's the third precedent that we see Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not allowed to benefit without paying? The Tanan. Misha par mixes chayvan. I owe you $1,000. There's a shtar that says I owe you $1,000. I don't have $1,000, but I have $500. So I give you the $500. I don't want to leave you with the shtar. The shtar says I owe you $1,000.
so you'll be able to turn around and ask me for $1,000 again. On the other hand, as we've said many times, especially when we learned Masechta Ksubos, it was very complicated for them to write new shtaros. People didn't know how to write. It cost money to write. So they come up with the following solution. Hish is the shtaroi. They take the shtar and they leave it by a third party. V'omer, and the loiva says to the malva, Im ein ani noiselach mekan v'azman ploini, if I don't pay off the balance by a certain date, I tell this third party, ten le shtaroi. Give the malva back the shtar. And says the Mishnah, Higi azman v'loi noson, if the time comes by which I have to pay you up, and I don't, so I gave instructions. So give back the shtar to the malva. Why? Because the malva, if he'll get back the shtar, will collect the entire $1,000 from me, even though I already paid her $500. Rabbi Yehuda is against anybody benefiting to nothing. So we seemingly have three circumstances, three cases, where Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to have a no from somebody else's money for no reason. Says the Gemara, it's not necessarily a proof. Amai. Dilma, at kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hocha. You know why in our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda says that the upstairs inhabitant can't just live downstairs without paying? Because they can shechrusa. As the Rishonim explained, we have a new house. A new house has nice, freshly painted walls. If I'm going to live in this apartment before you, the owner of the apartment, ever move in, I'm going to be causing you a damage that you don't have an apartment. That's unacceptable. Inami, in a situation of a tzvay le edoim, the tzvay shachar, where he didn't find, where I asked you to do red and you do black, because of Yehuda's of the opinion, mishum the kamishana, the laborer, the dyer, disobeyed the instructions, but hatnan is not a kasha here, hatnan is a raya, that the halacha is, says Rabbi Yehuda, kol mishana yorel tachtone. The last case, umisha par mitzvah chayvai, now we have a smachta. What is this a situation? It's a situation of an smachta. Why? Because when I paid you partially, and we said, let's leave the shtar with the third party, and I said, if I don't pay you by a certain date, give the shtar back to the malva, why did I say it? Because I really thought it will never happen. I was sure I'm going to pay you. That's a classical example of a smachta. The Shemini Le Rabbi Yehuda, the Amal Leikani. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is the smachta Leikani, the smachta is meaningless. So we've spoken so many times in this Masechta about a smachta, as we start coming towards the end of the Masechta, just to speak about a smachta a little more. First of all, I saw a machloikis, when Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the halacha, says a smachta Leikani is that medaraisa or medarabara. A machloikis Hapoiskim, and both of them have rayas. On one hand, we have a proof that a smacht midaraisa is a kinyan. Where? The Torah, we just spoke about it the other day, speaks about a guarantor. Now, when I guarantee a loan that you take, it's really in a smachta. The reason I guarantee it is because I never assume I'm going to have to pay. Yet the guarantor is considered a guarantor. So we see a smachta kanyan midaraisa. On the other hand, a raya that a smacht is loy kanyan midaraisa. We're going to learn a Mitzvah, Masechta Sanhedrin. One of the people identified in Masechta Sanhedrin to be a disqualified aid is a Masach Bekuvya, somebody that gambles. What's wrong with gambling? Because I never assumed that I'm going to lose the money, so it's always like a gzela. So we see a Smachta Loikanya. I saw a very nice word. Rashi says that as Yaakov Avinu was returning home, from the home of Lavan to Yitzchak's home, Yaakov Avinu turned around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rashi, and says, you need to take care of me, Esav shouldn't be able to take me, because you promised me twice that you'll take care of me. One is on the way to Lavan's house, the famous parasha, Shemrani b'derech hazeh, Ashenoch ha'olech, v'nosen lilechem lechol, u'beged lilbash. And the second thing is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yaakov Avinu in a cholim when he was in Lavan's home. What's pshat in this medrash? So I saw the Mefarshim explain. Yaakov Avinu was concerned that the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a guarantee to him, it's an esmachta. Because look in the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Im shemrani b'derech hazeh. And when we discussed many times what is an esmachta, we said any situation of im, where I don't assume it will happen, it's considered an asmachta.
So Yaakov Avinu was concerned that this is an asmachta, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to keep his guarantee. But the Gemara says, the Halacha says, that even if there's a situation, we've quoted this opinion, even if there's a situation of an asmachta, but if the asmachta is not just a guarantee, but it's a guarantee backed up with a shvua, then it doesn't have the status of an asmachta. The Halacha also says, if I repeat the same thing twice, it's considered a shvua. So Yaakov Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not an asmachta, even though you said im, because you said it twice. And twice it doesn't have the din of an asmachta. So you have to follow up what you promised me. Continues the Gemara. Amar Achabar Adam Shmei De'ula. Tachtan Habol Shanif Begvil. If the bottom apartment wants to make the walls, that means originally the walls were made out of gauzes, and as we're going to learn the beginning of Masechta Bava Basra, gauzes is a 5-inch wall. Gvil is a 5-tefach wall. Gvil is a 6-tefach wall. So if now when we're rebuilding the house, the downstairs inhabitant wants to make 6-tefach walls instead of 5-tefach wall, great. Shaymanlai. The gauzes. But if originally it was a 6-tefach wall, and now he wants to make a 5-tefach wall, ain't shaymanlai. He has no right. The kfisim, shaymanlai. The levenim, ain't shaymanlai. If he originally had a wall that was 4-tefach wide, a kfisim wall is 4-tefach wall, and a levenim wall is a 3-tefach wall. So if he originally had a 3-tefach wall, and now he wants to make a 4-tefach wall, by all means. If he originally had a 4-tefach wall, and now he wants to make a 3-tefach wall, he may not. The sachik barozim, if originally they had cedar wood, to make the beams on the ceiling, and now they originally had sycamore, and now he wants to make cedar, great. B'shkamim, if they originally had cedar, and now he wants sycamore, ain't shemelai. Lamat b'chaloinos, if he wants to have less windows than they originally had, and therefore you'll have more bricks, and more bricks make a better wall, go right ahead. But to have more windows, and that will make a weaker wall, ain't shemelai. Lagbia, if he wants to make a higher ceiling than he originally had, ain't shemelai. Because now, the upper story is going to need more steps to get upstairs. Lamat, but if he wants to make less steps, wants to make a lower ceiling, shemelai, he's very happy. He has to climb less steps to get upstairs. Just the opposite, says the Gemara. Elyon shebol shanis, but now let's say the upper story wants to change. Because of shemelai, begvil ain't shemelai. If he wants to make a thinner wall, a 5-tefach wall instead of a 6-tefach wall, great. Why? Because the upper wall puts pressure on the lower wall. So the downstairs neighbor is happier to have a narrower wall. Similarly, b'kfisim ain't shemelai, b'lvei ain't shemelai. If he originally had a 4-tefach, now he wants to make 3-tefach, great. B'razim ain't shemelai, b'shitma shemelai. If he originally had cedar wood, which is heavier, and now he wants to have a sycamore ceiling, great. L'rabbis b'chaloinus, if he wants to make more windows, so be lighter, shemelai. Lamad b'chaloimus, if he wants to make less windows, and therefore have a heavier wall, ain't shemelai. Lagbia, if he wants to make a higher ceiling for the first floor, ain't shemelai. Lamad, ain't shemelai. Ein loy lezeh, v'loy lezeh mai. Ask not a Gemara. Let's say, Amish spoke about a case where one neighbor wants to rebuild a house, and one neighbor doesn't want to build a house. Well, be the halacha, both of them don't want to. So how do we divide up the property? Tanya Reb Nosson Omer, Tachtoin Neutel Shlei Chalokim, the downstairs tenant takes 2/3 of the value of the property, the Elyon Shlish, and the upper tenant takes, the upper neighbor takes 1/3 of the value of the property. The Chayim Omer, Tachtoin Neutel Shlei Chalokim, the downstairs neighbor takes 3/4 of the value of the property, the Elyon Neutel V, and the upstairs tenant takes 25%. Omer Rava, Paskins Rabba, Nikoit Rab Nosan Biyotcha, follow the opinion of Rab Nosan, the Dainahu Venachaslam Kadadina. And the way in the first one explained the Gemara. Both of these were great Talmid Chachamim. However, somebody who doesn't just Paskin Halacha, he Paskins Halacha Lamaisa, he answers questions that actually come up, is a much higher level of a Paisik than somebody just knows it theoretically. Because before somebody issues a psak halacha that's relevant la loch lemaisa, he makes sure to know what he's talking about. And therefore, since Reb Nosson not only was a paisik, but he was a practical paisik, his opinion is to be followed. Kusover, what is the basis of his psak? He says, kama mafsar aliyah bebayis tilsa. Hilkach islay tilsa. Which means as follows. Rashi explains the Gemara like this. If you have a one-story house, and now you have a two-story house. He says, typically what will happen is as follows. If it's a one-story house that could stand for 90 years, by building another story, its life expectancy will only be 60 years. So that's why the upper story is entitled to a third of the value of the property. I saw interesting shaila in the Paiskim. The Knesset HaGdol discusses the shaila. What will be the halacha if you have two stories, you have a three-story house. What do we do? And the Knesset Gedolah says that the bottom floor still gets his two-thirds, and the other third is divided equally between the second and third story neighbors.